Okay. What's going on?
Chuck had a question, Swamiji, and I think others of us have had questions too. So we can start with Chuck.
Start with me. No, I'm wondering, Swamiji, what happens to Maya at Pralaya? You know, when everything is rolled up, is Maya always there with Brahman all times, even when there's no creation?
Yeah.
How?
So the as long as the jivas continue,
yes,
Maya would be there. This is our we have to accept that, because as long as the jivas are there, one jiva gone and then there is no Maya. There is only Brahman. Then the other jivas are, from that standpoint, Maya is there. Maya is there. Then, for them Maya is there. Then even from Brahman standpoint, you are Brahman now. From your standpoint, it becomes no more Brahman standpoint, it is your standpoint. And your standpoint, the Maya Upadhi is there. And so you become Ishwara. So that will continue, because the jivas are countless. And so the cycle keeps on going. The cycle.
Yeah.
It'll keep going.
No, I understand that. I'm just, I guess I'm confused.
No, but but the Maya is a vibhuti. It's not an issue, you know. For Brahman, Maya is a vibhuti. See, there is only Brahman. Maya also is Brahman. As long as the jivas are there, then the infrastructure called jagat must be there. Jiva sharira must be there. The order, laws, everything will be there. Ishvara continues. That's why Shankara always uses the word Ishvara for jagat karanam. Even the definition of Brahman is tatastha. Yathova yamani bhutani jayante. From which all these have come, by which all these are sustained, and to which all these go back, that is Brahman. The definition itself is like that. So tatastha. Even though in Brahman you don't see jagat, but the lakshana is tatastha.
Yeah, I'm just a little worried about what happened, you know, if there's pralaya, no creation.
All unmanifested, then Maya is there.
Unmanifest is a seed or something.
Yeah.
Has to be there potentially.
It will be there, that's a cycle. So unmanifest, then manifest, and manifest.
And so that potential Maya, or potential creation, whatever you want to say,
will always be there. It'll always be there as long as jiva. We have to put one as long as. For safety. As long as jivas are there. Then afterwards we say jivas will always be there. Because they are countless. Yeah. What's the countless jiva? Some people get worried. If all the jivas get enlightened. So if all the jivas get enlightened, what will happen to the world? So they should have some cause to really worry about.
Swamiji, I have a question that troubles me a little bit, because we say when the creation is unmanifest, and we say when, but my understanding is time itself is part of the creation, so how can we say when the creation is unmanifest?
I tell you, upachara. That's what it's all. It's not there. There's no when or anything. When it is unmanifest, we have to say. Because we are dealing with manifest. So it becomes unmanifest. Even when it becomes unmanifest, we have to add when. When it becomes unmanifest, then there is no time there. Then we need not bother about that. Because when it is manifest, it comes with along with time and space. Like sleep. We are dealing with it all the time. When you go to sleep, there is no time. It's only language. Because there is such a thing called sleep, it begins at a given time. Therefore, when is not an inappropriate word. And it breaks at a given time. So when it begins and it breaks, then when is not an inappropriate word.
Swamiji, why is the vritti, I am limited, why is the vritti so strong?
No, sir, the vritti is as good as limitless.
Yes. But the vritti, I am just this.
No, vritti cannot stay because vritti is only when it is, we call it a vritti only when it is an object. Then when it is limitless, what vritti will be there? And the limitless is self-revealing, I have already told. But this is a modern problem.
But the vritti
resolves.
Yes. But the truth is, I am the whole, and there's a vritti that says, I am limited, and that vritti, I am limited, is very strong.
No, it's a vritti that resolves into self-revealing, limitless consciousness. So all that is there is one Chaitanya. Then even when there is a vritti, that limitless is, ignorance is not there. We don't need a vritti for it. There is no ignorance, that's it.
But
even there is subject-object, it is limitless. You don't need a vritti.
No, so much I understand, but I am the whole is the truth. Okay, so maybe the word vritti is not correct. Maybe why is the conviction that we feel I am limited, that why is that conviction strong enough to overcome the truth that I am the whole?
Limitless goal is all one and the same, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is the question of what is this knowledge? This question, you have to understand that the answer to this question, the question is to be reshaped.
Uh-huh. Okay.
How does the knowledge take place? How does the knowledge of limitless take place? Is there a vritti, I am limitless? There is a vritti. It's called akhandakara vritti. The jiva and Ishvara are one and the same. That akhandakara vritti, the contradictions resolve. Jiva is individual, Ishvara is all. So the all includes individual. How individual can be all? That is a contradiction. This contradiction gets resolved when we understand these both are non-separate from self-revealing, limitless consciousness, which is Satyam. And with that vritti goes, removing that confusion, the vritti goes.
Swamiji, I can understand all that.
Yeah, then what else?
The question is, I know that I am the whole, but there is a vritti, a conviction that I am a limited jiva. That conviction, that vritti sometimes is there. Now, if the truth is, I am the whole, and I know the truth, the vritti, I'm limited, it also is there.
So I think he's talking, if I'm correct, I think he's talking about the viparita bhavana or the habitual identification with the body. I think he's talking about the habitual identification with the body, even though aham brahmasmi is understood. Still, the habit of identification with the body continues. And is it correct?
Yes. Why? Why does that happen?
For what?
What is the reason of that?
Yes.
What?
That's orientation.
Yeah, orientation.
The whole we have been talking about that.
Yeah.
That is the orientation, old orientation.
Just old habit.
Yeah.
Old habit.
You said it habitual, yeah. So, it's not that it's unlike any knowledge. Any knowledge is knowledge of an object to which you are related as a knower. So it's different. It's old-time knowledge. Ignorance is gone and you have knowledge. And that therefore, unless you forget or something because of some hemorrhage or damage, there is no question of again ignorance coming back. Here also ignorance doesn't come back. Experientially, you find estranged or as though you lost it. Sir, as though. Dhyayati eva. Lelayati eva. As though it is lost and as though it is gained again. And you do dhyanam. That's a contemplation. Dhyayati eva. You as though contemplate. Because as though lost and as though contemplate. And you begin and it ends. Because you do use your will at that time to sit in contemplation. Afterwards, then take care of your world or whatever. Knowledge takes care of it. Yeah.
Swamiji? In satsang, someone asked you the question, what did Harihi Om mean? And in satsang one time, somebody asked you, what did Harihi Om mean, what the meaning was? And you gave the meaning. But I believe you also broke down the word Harihi into separate Sanskrit words, but I didn't hear Swamiji translate those words. Did that happen? Not sure.
No. Arihi is harati. Harati papani. Dukkhani. Dukkha hetu. And the one who removes the papa. Papa means dukkha. All forms of pain. Causes of pain. And whether you are invoking Ishvara in the form of a remover of pain. When you say Hara or Hari, only Pratyaya is different. And root is the Hri Ruta, Har. Then, Om is Avati Rakshati. The one who is, one who blesses. So source of blessing. Source of sustenance. That which sustains everything. That is Om. I don't know what connection I gave. So there is no connection between that. Even though Rakshanam is one thing, Haranam is another. By removing Hari Om, I said that. I remember that. By removing all the causes for Dukkha, Om Rakshati. Protects, blesses. Hari Om. For that I gave the answer. Yeah. Somebody asked, what is Hari Om? Hari Om. Same Om is Hari. First remover. Remover of Dukkha. That's all what you require. Remover of dukkha means all smallness has to go, ignorance has to go, confusion has to go. So Bharati. So what is left out is Om. Then you can also invoke as O remover and bless, the one who is the source of blessing. So Hari Om. That's the meaning we can give. We use these two words all the time, Hari Om, in the Veda also. While chanting also Hari Om. But you have to say Hari Om. The visarga remains before Om.
Om always remains untouched.
It doesn't gel with any. It stands out. Om. So they have respect for Om.
Swamiji? Did Swamiji talk about Pratibandhika Jnanam a little bit? There's different standpoints that Swamiji's taken and also Shankara has spoken of it. So I'd like to hear some of those different ways of viewing it. And how Swamiji would translate it also.
Sapradibandhaka Jnanam. So, sapradibandhaka jnana means jnanam with pradibandhaka. Pradibandha means obstacle. Some obstacles, inhibiting factors are there. These pradibandhakas are generally called avarana and vikshepa. So, avarana, vikshepa, these are the pradibandhakas. Main pradibandhaka is avarana and vikshepa. So, this avarana is removed. Avarana is cover, not knowing. So this, for want of a pramana, avarana continues. For want of pramana, there is no knowledge. And for want of knowledge, continuity of avarana. Avarana cannot go. How will it go? In the wake of knowledge, it will go. And for the knowledge you require pramana. Pramana is shastra. Shastra exposure you require. And when the shastra exposure is there, adequate exposure, and shastra handled by a teacher, because it is purely handling. It is something like therapy. It is purely handling. Suppose there is a book on therapy. You read a book, you don't get therapy. Yeah. You can say that I read all the therapy books 3 times in that. You don't get therapy. So similarly, this teaching also is a super therapy. Because therapist also doesn't do anything. Doesn't create anything new. Confusion removes. Whatever the confusion is there, that has to go. And to some extent it goes. They shift from the self-blaming to the people who are to blame. They shift. That's a very big thing. At least you are not blaming. It's not you. So that's a freedom. So freedom from self-blaming, self-loathing. Then we can go one step further, say, not only you are not to blame, even your mother is not to blame, and your father is not to blame, nobody is to blame. There is an order in all this, and therefore you go one step further, and then one more step further, that you are unaffected and all that, that is the teaching. So you bring in Ishvara, and then you are validated. Ishvara is infallible, or infallible is Ishvara, and because it is in the form of order, Ishvara in the form of order, and all my lot is by Ishvara's law. My own capacity to change also is within the law. All that we appreciate, then therefore there is some kind of a therapy there, and it has to be done and done only by a teacher. There's no question of reading a book and getting anything. It's a therapy. It's a reorientation, complete reorientation, opposite. Centered on I, not an object. So, this being I-centered, it requires that kind of reorientation. If it is object-centered knowledge, you don't need orientation, you don't need therapy. I have to understand how to make cheese. I don't need any therapy. So cheese therapy. Reorientation. You don't need. But then if you think I am cheese, then you require a lot of therapy. Therefore, you call a teacher, all right. Teacher is there, and he's a proper teacher. That also I have to add. All this you have to make pakka. The requirement is to be made tight. So the teacher is there, teaching is there, pramana is available. Therefore, there should be no reason for the person who is exposed to the teaching not to know. There is no reason. Unless somebody is damaged cognitively. If there is a cognitive damage, then it is a problem. Because understanding won't take place. Cognitive damage takes place because of too many issues to be processed. So that unless they are processed, they are not going to allow you to solve the problem. Because it is a self-addressed, and there is something there to be processed and that is not yet processed, that is the self you have got. That is the ego. Unconscious is not an object. It is centered on ego. It is the other side of the ego, flip side of the ego. How will it allow? It won't allow. It will stand like a block. It will not allow. It will find out enough reasons to deny what you think you know is not true. It will deny, it will protest. All Pura Paksha, I consider all the acharyas are there because of psychological problems. Different schools of thought, all because of needs. They want somebody to be there to save. It's all unconscious problems. They can't accept Even these people who don't accept Brahmanas also have got father issue, authority issue. From Buddha onwards. Authority issues. So, all schools of thought are born out of emotional needs. You interpret everything in such a way or deny everything. Deny means authority. I say this. I'm not going to accept anybody. This is not acceptance of anybody. That is not understood. I'm not going to use my eyes for seeing. That's how I go about. Then what you are going to use? I'll use my ears. And to hear you, I will use my eyes, okay? To hear you say this, I will use my eyes. Get lost, that's the meaning for that. And therefore, so I am very definite about this, even though I can't talk. for civility. For not hurting people. But I am 100% sure. Not I have a theory. I see it. It's all due to issues. Vishishtadvaitam, dvaitam. All these theologies, savior psychology. Somebody must be there to say. All savior religions are like that. How anybody can deny? It's all needs. So, even some people say, there is no guru. You are your own guru. You have been 55 years. And so nothing has happened. So, innum buddhi varalena varu. Even now, buddhi doesn't come. All only people. And it's not authority, it's a means of knowing. So they will protest. When the issues are there inside, they will protest and make sure, because they have issues, they will come to spirituality. They will go to spirituality. But they will not be able to see. They will try to prove they are wrong. Because it will solve the problem. And also, I become lovable. I am not lovable. That is definite. The child knows I am not lovable. And you say you are lovable. That is bluff. That is lie. It has to prove. It has to set up. It has to create a child. And if there is some education and intelligence is there, all that is available will be used to prove that I need to be saved.
Swamiji, then can one say Jiva's problems are really emotional problems? And Vedanta is a cognitive solution to the emotional problems of a person?
We are cognitive of that also. We take into cognition.
That is, Swamiji, but the very fact that if the person has an emotional problem and he doesn't have the cognition to available to that person,
therefore
it becomes difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult. That's why we have got adhikaritam. We have got adhikaritam proper. So, the lifestyle that is advocated and the values, attitudes, values are easy. attitudes are difficult. Values are easy for a person who understands values. It's not very difficult. Values are easy. Not to tell a lie, not to cheat anybody, not to take advantage of it. It's all simple for any mature person. It's not a very big thing it is. Most of them are like that. That's how society is running. Because people follow all these values. Attitudes are... Nobody talks about attitude. Whole life is attitude. Attitude towards yourself, attitude towards others, attitude towards money, attitude towards power, attitude towards health. All attitude towards the world. Attitude. And therefore so much understanding is necessary to have a healthy attitude. Healthy attitude is an attitude born of understanding of what is. That's how Ishvara comes into the picture. And so this enough exposure is there. There's no damage then to the cognitive skills. There will be knowledge. You cannot say it's abrahmavit. You cannot say. Suppose I ask anyone who has been exposed to this teaching for a length of time, teaching with me, to be sure. Really? I can't assure for others. And so they are exposed to me, because I am sure what I am doing. And exposed to me for a length of time. And that person, suppose I ask a question, so are you ignorant of Brahman? Or are you free from being ignorant? No one can say, I am ignorant. Everybody will say, I know, but... This but is called Pratibandhaka. That is a Pratibandhaka. But something is there. And that is Pratibandhaka. Whatever he says, that is Pratibandhaka. And that comes from whatever is the background. And so Shankara accepts in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Jnana Nishta. He talks about Nishta. And also in the second chapter there is a Stita Prajna. Prajna is enough. And Stita Prajna. Stita Prajna. Stita Prajna, Stira Prajna is it. Whose Prajna, whose knowledge is Stira. Then we say firm knowledge. There's no firm knowledge. There's no wobbly knowledge. But knowledge can be vague, very hazy. So still it is knowledge, hazy knowledge. Therefore we need to use an adjective to knowledge. Because there is growing clarity. This growing clarity is twofold. The growing clarity implies a reorientation to the old orientation, reorientation of this knowledge, in terms of this knowledge, against old orientation. World orientation means you have nurtured that, you have gathered so much guilt and so much hurt because of that old orientation, and you are saying that I am Brahman, I am the whole, I am Asanga, I am uninvolved, I am untouched, I am always Nitya Shuddha, Nitya Buddha. All these words are only pointing out Sapradibandhaka Jnana. Otherwise you don't need Shuddha, Nitya Buddha, Nitya Mukta. Why? Because I am bound and I am impure. All these words are there, therefore here is a pile up of words. It's not that Atma is found out with all these embellishments of Shuddha sitting here, Buddha sitting there. They are not objectives qualifying the vastu. Some kind of a necklace. So many precious stones. One stone is Shuddha. One stone is Buddha. One stone is Mukta. One stone is Asanga. It's not like that. All the words are only pointing out what is. But we need all these words because Pratibandhakas. Guilt, hurt, Pratibandhaka. That is the impurity. We have to say Nitya Shuddha. By saying it doesn't go. So Nitya Shuddha will become a superimposed concept upon guilty. Or if you have got sufficient exposure and the insight is complete, then you can highlight the meaning of the word Shuddha by contemplation, and that should slowly filter into the guilt itself. That should filter into the guilt itself and swallows that. Devour that. Make it mithya. These are all karya. Mithya. So you have to make the mithya mithya. And look at that guilt. Face the guilt with the Shuddha Buddhi. Nitya Shuddha Buddhi, you face the guilt. Not get away from the guilt. That's called Satya Mithya. Face the guilt and make it Shuddha. Place Dukkha. Face Dukkha and with the Buddhi of Ananda. So that which sustains is Dukkha is Ananda. In Dukkha Vritti itself you see Ananda, the Chaitanya, the limitless. So that is why we have many words. Otherwise we don't need all these words. Once I have done the job, they go away. Words we bring in only to communicate. Words we don't need to remember Atma. People come and say, Savija, I forgot the Atma. So that you know that you have forgotten is the Atma. Because of what you know that you have forgotten, that is Atma. So, this is a common expression, common... And therefore, there is growing clarity. And whatever that was obstructing, we are facing it. We learn to face them in contemplation. And if it is little too much, we bring in more Ishvara into one's life and face them through Ishvara. Afterwards, it's easy. Only Ishvara is. The Ishvara Sachidananda. This in Aparokshanubhuti said, Karyam, is a karanatvena drishya. Very beautiful question. The last few verses. The karya should be seen, should be faced as karana. Like a wave is seen as water. Every vritti is myself. The contemplation is depending upon what is the problem. We have to discern that. What kind of problem I have? If this is all truth, then what is the problem I have? And then you address that problem with the understanding. It's the same way. Therefore, there is a pratibandhaka jnana, and the pratibandha keeps going. If there is cognitive problem, then some kind of therapy will be better. There is also sadhana. So without condemning the person, so therapy is not, that's also some kind of spiritual process. Sadhana. I can say that therapy also as a spiritual sadhana. For somebody it is necessary. Because he is addressing the problem. Therapy means a spiritual person is one who doesn't blame the world and addresses the problem. I define like that. I define my own spirituality. I don't use the word spiritual. Because everybody has his own definition. And therefore I don't use that. One fellow told me I am spiritual. So I said, but what is it that you do? Do you have any practice? And I said, yes. Every evening I drink. And drink is spirit. Oh, that's enough.
Thank you, Swamiji.
Okay.